From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, September 19th, 2016, we've got a fun hour in store for all of you out there as we will recap the very busy weekend in the world of sports, particularly here in mid-Michigan, as the Michigan State football team pulled out a huge win entering that game against Notre Dame on Saturday night as 8-point dogs. And hey, they win by 8. We'll break it down and we'll have plenty of coverage from that. We will also talk about a complete contrast to what took place with the Michigan State football team as opposed to the Detroit Lions. The Lions, they fall in their home opener against the Tennessee Titans in really dramatic fashion, all right? So we'll recap what took place there. We will also have a very interesting interview with Mr. Jay Vincent, Lansing native and former Michigan State basketball player from 1971 to 1981, who has had many ups and downs throughout his life, but he's getting his life back on track, all right? Jay will join us for the first time ever here on WKAR's Current Sports during our second segment. And, hey, on the back end of the show, we will talk about former Michigan State quarterback and Kirk Cousins, who is not having his best start to the NFL year. That, as well as weekend winners. Call to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But, hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, and we start with college football news. Of course, Michigan State jumped from 12th to 8th in the latest Associated Press poll after this weekend's road win against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and remain 8th in the coaches poll, where they have been ranked since the preseason. Now, Michigan needed a comeback victory at home over Colorado to remain 4th in the Associated Press poll, drawing one first-place vote. Michigan also stays 5th in the coaches poll. We will have more from the weekend that was for the Michigan State and Michigan football teams in the blink of an eye. Michigan's redshirt sophomore defensive back Jabril Peppers. How good is Jabril Peppers, folks? He has made history. After his outstanding game against Colorado on Saturday, Peppers is the first player to be awarded the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week and the Special Teams Player of the Week at the same time. Peppers, 6'1", 205, and after Michigan's 45-28 win, he had 9 tackles and a sack defensively. He also racked up 180 total run yards and included a 54-yard punt return for a touchdown in the third quarter. Michigan now moves on to take on Penn State, on Saturday at the Big House. 4-star defensive end Donovan Jeter committed to Notre Dame after an official visit over the weekend. Jeter was rated as the number 237th overall prospect, number 14 defensive tackle, although Notre Dame is recruiting him as defensive end, according to 247 Sports. Now, the 6'4", 250-pound recruit from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, he had offers from Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State, and many other offers. Again, Donovan Jeter committing to Notre Dame. All right, folks, the Detroit Lions, through a rash of injuries and penalties, the Lions blew a late lead to the Tennessee Titans and lost 16-15 yesterday afternoon in the home opener for the Honolulu Blue. The Lions committed 17 penalties on the day. That ties a franchise record, with 3 of them canceling out touchdowns. The officials called 21 penalties in the game for a total of 221 yards. Defensive end Ziggy Iggy, Ziggy Ansah, and running back Amir Abdullah both left the game in the first half with injuries. And linebacker DeAndre Levy didn't even suit up for the game. Now, Matthew Stafford finished the game with 260 yards to go along with a TD and an INT. After the Titans scored a touchdown to take the lead with 1:13 left in the game, Stafford got his team to midfield before throwing his first interception of the season. With a record of 1-1, the D will start preparing for the Green Bay Packers as they will head to Lambeau Field this weekend. Big, big game, especially as the Packers are coming off a loss to the Minnesota Vikings last night in Sunday Night Football. All right, Pro Football Talk is reporting multiple offensive players have anonymously complained about the play of Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, great, citing his lack of decisiveness and erratic play for the Washington Redskins. Now, multiple players were seen frustrated after Cousins threw a pick in the Dallas Cowboys end zone early in the fourth quarter. In a game, the Redskins were going to lose 27-23. Now, Cousins and the Redskins now fall to 0-2 on the year, which is a contract year for Cousins after declining a multi-year contract over the offseason and signing a $19 million contract for 1 year. After dropping the first two games of the weekend set, the Detroit Tigers responded with a 9-5 win over the Cleveland Indians on Sunday. J.D. Martinez and Justin Upton homered in the victory, and Ian Kinsler had to be tested for a concussion following the game after a scary moment. He was hit in the head by a pitch. Now, after beating the Indians for this the second time this year, Detroit is now 7 games in back of the AL Central lead and 2 games behind Toronto for the second wild card spot. Now, with just 13 games left in the year, that's about 2 weeks, the Tigers have an off day today before traveling to Minnesota for a 3-game series against the lowly Minnesota Twins. And Miguel Cabrera recorded his 2,500th hit on Sunday with a third-inning single against the Indians and the Tigers' win. Cabrera is the 100th major leaguer to reach the milestone and becomes the youngest to reach it since Hank Aaron did in 1967. At 33 years old, Cabrera joins an elite company of just 7 other players to reach the milestone by that age. And last but not least, this morning, Tim Tebow put on a baseball uniform for the first time since high school as he pursues, yeah, believe it or not, a career in Major League Baseball as a part of the New York Mets organization. And while he looks the part in a Mets uniform, he seems to have forgotten he isn't throwing a pass in the end zone. Get this, while practicing, he threw a ball 45 feet over the head of his throwing partner and the fence. Let that soak in, folks. Publicity stunt, you betcha. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. That's, again, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Again, as I said, it we'll be chatting with Jay Vincent on today's show. Lansing native, former Michigan State basketball player from 1977 to 1981. If you got any questions for Jay, again, just pick up that phone and do the same, all right? Without further ado, let's start the show.
Andre Johnson with the 69th touchdown of his career, and now the Titans will go for two.
How does he catch this ball?
I have no idea how that ball got in there.
He is well defended. There are guys all around him, and he pulls it in.
That's why he's going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
If the Titans don't get the two, then a field goal would win it for Detroit. Mariota rolling right. Runs into his own man. And the two-point conversion is no good. He tripped over DeMarco Murray. Matthew Stafford directing traffic. Three timeouts. They just got to get into Matt Prater field goal range for the win. Seven drop passes, not a nice stat for the Lions. That's the total today. And on second down, Stafford is sacked. Arakpo with his second of the day. Stafford fires. Stafford had gone 212 passes without an interception. And he throws one here to Parrish Cox, who had a miserable game for the Titans. But in the big moment, Cox comes up with the pick.
Donnie Corley wide open to the left of Tyler O'Connor. He'll toss it to R.J. Shelton on a little end-around.
Here we go!
Steps away! He breaks a tackle. He's at the 30. Dragged down at the 25. That could be the ball game, folks. Tyler O'Connor takes a knee, holds his arms up. He has just led the Spartans to a win at Notre Dame.
You know, we certainly took a step from our first game. And we came down and we played a good football team away from home in a great environment. And on a national TV, national stage, and you got to be able to measure up in those times. When the lights come on, you got to be able to make plays when the lights come on, big time. And I think most of our players, whether it's this game or other games in our schedule, you know, they sit here and they dream about these opportunities. These are life moments for our players. So they'll remember this when we came to Notre Dame and we did this and we won. This is a life moment for them, and this will be a great experience that they'll draw on, I think, for the rest of their life. I mean, that's just the way these big games are.
And that is how we start this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I trust that you had a fabulous weekend. I know it's a lot of mixed emotions for those fans here in Mid-Michigan, seeing as though, hey, on Saturday night, the Michigan State football team got a huge win. Huge win, again, coming off a week two bye. On the road at Notre Dame, under the lights, as Coach D'Antonio just said, and they beat Notre Dame to move to 2-0 on the year. But on Sunday, yeah, the Detroit Lions. Boy, oh boy, what a game it was. Many penalties, and Matthew Stafford with an opportunity to possibly go down, lead his team down the field, get him in field goal range, and have a repeat of what took place in week one on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Well, that hope quickly fizzled out as Stafford threw an interception to end things, moving the Lions to now 1-1 on the year. So we will start with some Michigan State football and Detroit Lions talk. If you want to weigh in, again, phone lines are open and they will stay open as they customarily do throughout this entire hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR. 95-27. Let's start with Sparty. Boy, oh boy, folks, that was a fun game to watch. Maybe not so fun as the game went on for Michigan State fans in that fourth quarter, because Michigan State saw a 29-point lead erased, okay, to just eight points with about 6 minutes left in the game. And this is a team that was so impressive, though. No one, and I tweeted this out watching the game, especially when you look at that third quarter when Michigan State was able to push that lead out to 29. They had three touchdowns in the third quarter alone. Michigan State just dominating that game throughout 80% of it, no one saw that coming. You know, and the fans out there who say they did see it coming are more so speaking from their heart and not the muscle between their ears, because, again, nobody saw this coming. I mean, we did our preview show on Friday, right? And I think all of us, except one, Isaac, chose Michigan State to win that game. Everybody else chose Notre Dame. And the scores we threw out, everybody thought it was going to be a touchdown game, which it was. I mean, it was an 8-point win for Michigan State at the end of the day. But no one saw Michigan State stretching this thing out at one point in the game to 29. I mean, that's absolutely insane, right? But they did. I mean, Michigan State looked like, you know, they had been playing, you know, like they didn't even come off a bye week. There was no rust present. And that's the reason why I really chose Notre Dame to win that game on Saturday. Because, you know, Michigan State coming off a week 2 bye, you know, they won 28-13 against the Furman Paladins. A very uninspired effort. Heck, and you know, you look at how they scored throughout that game. They scored one touchdown per quarter. Furman had 226 yards total, 87 of those on the ground. You know, the Michigan State defensive line didn't play great. The secondary was shaky. Darian Hicks was called out countless times. And after all of that, you go on a week 2 bye and then have to hit the road to play Notre Dame? Come on, really? And, hey, Mark D'Antonio, he just makes it happen, folks. You know, he handles things in-house. He does not listen to the outside chatter, and he goes to work. Simple as that, folks. And it's the reason why this Michigan State football team has grown so much under his tutelage. So how did Michigan State do it, folks? Well, first, I want to call out the offensive line because the game plan offensively was pretty simple. Run. Simple as that, folks. Again, especially in that third quarter where you had 3 touchdowns, but they in total they had 260 rushing yards, folks. 164 in the third quarter alone. Dominant. Dominant. It really allowed Gerald Holmes, who, again, thoughts and condolences out to the Holmes family, seeing as though Gerald Holmes was playing on a heavy heart. You know, less than 24 hours after hearing that his grandmother passed away, he goes out there on the football field and plays pretty good on the road against Notre Dame. Gerald Holmes was fantastic. LJ Scott, fantastic. But again, they wouldn't have the opportunity to be fantastic if it was not for that Michigan State offensive line opening up holes constantly, down after down, for those two to wiggle out and make plays happen. How about the time of possession, folks? That's another thing that really stood out to me. You know what? I clocked that final drive, that final scoring drive in the first half for Michigan State, before halftime hit. And I clocked it. I actually went back on the DVR. You know, at 5 minutes and 6 seconds, that's when Michigan State got the football in the first half. In the waning moments of the first half. That was their final drive. That's when their final drive of the first half began. 5:06. Left to play in the second quarter. You know when Notre Dame got the football to end that quarter? Do you know when? With about 40 seconds left. That's crazy, right? That's more than a 4-minute drive for Michigan State. And when you look at, again, when you look at the TOP differential here, you're talking about 16 minutes. Huge, right? Absolutely huge. The receiving core. R.J. Shelton is my guy. He's the most consistent receiver on this Michigan State team. He's the receiver with the most experience, and he was great. He was great. I mean, to end the game and to ice the game and to solidify a Michigan State win, I mean, how many times did we see that jet sweep run for R.J. Shelton? That end-around reverse, he would come around. It was great blocking up the field, and then R.J. Shelton would just turn on the Jets. He was fantastic. Monte Medeiros made some big catches. And Donnie Corley, I had called out Donnie Corley on Friday's show, and I have been waiting for Donnie. I had been waiting when looking at that Furman game for him to break out and have, you know, this huge game. Not so much so in that first game, but boy, oh boy, Donnie Corley showed you why everyone is talking about and was talking about this young man throughout preseason training camp. The dude just can flat out catch the football. And that throw from Tyler O'Connor to Donnie Corley, in which Corley had to reach over the defender, snag it from his paws, and hurl it in for the touchdown, was insane in the membrane, folks. It kind of reminded me, and I was chatting with a few of our PAs before we began today's show, but it reminded me so much of that Martin Luther King state championship win last year, where Donnie Corley, you know, he gets the pass in the back left side of the end zone, and he jumps over the defender, and they win the state championship because Donnie just makes this crazy grab, and everybody goes insane, right? It reminded me so much of that play. It was a flashback moment, right? And many people were talking about it on Twitter. It looked like, you know, I saw many people tweeting out, wow, that looked like Donnie Corley back in high school when he won the state championship game. And it really did, folks. It was a bit underthrown, and it could have easily been an interception. It could have gone the other way, but Donnie Corley just said, uh-uh, that's mine. Touchdown, MSU. Fantastic. How about the linebacker core? Want to shout them out as well. It's the linebackers have just been absolutely fantastic for MSU, I think, to start this year so far. Riley Bulla, he made plays. How about Reschke, John Reschke, with the INT? I mean, he was fantastic yesterday as well. We did see, because I know everybody's asking, because a lot of people didn't see him when he was out there because he played only three downs. But Ed Davis did play. You know, he's coming back. He's got that 6-year of eligibility. Ed Davis was in there, but he played three downs. He's just trying to get acclimated with just playing football again, let alone making big plays, all right? Well, it was fantastic. It was fantastic showing for Michigan State, but something happened in that fourth quarter. And you know what happened in that fourth quarter? Michigan State just got a bit too conservative, if you ask me, when it comes to their play calling. Michigan State really kind of eased up on the gas, and they became very predictable offensively. All Brian Kelly had to do, Brian Kelly knew that they were going to run the football, so all Brian Kelly had to do was just really load the box. That led to a 3-and-out. And then Notre Dame in desperation mode, trying to make a comeback. DeShone Kizer tested those Michigan State corners, safety, just the overall secondary. And I really see a lot of holes in that Michigan State secondary right now. That secondary has to get better, I must say, as the year goes on, because Kizer was way too comfortable in the pocket. And, he had way too much time to just look down the field and pick and choose what receivers he wanted to target for a big play. And all of a sudden, that 29-point lead was whittled down to an 8-point lead. Now, D'Antonio and Michigan State fans everywhere should be happy about this win because, again, a win is a win. As Coach D'Antonio loves to quote from the great George Perlis, they all count one. Simple as that. And I really believe when you look at Michigan State's schedule now and how it stacks up, there is not a game for the rest of the way that you can point to and say that Michigan State does not have a legit shot at pulling out. Simple as that, folks. They will be 7-0 when they meet Michigan on October 29th at Spartan Stadium. So for me, if there was any big question mark, it was the Notre Dame game for me. Again, you come off a week two bye and you got to go on the road to beat a team who's already had three straight games, already in a groove on the gridiron. I don't know about that. But I am certainly glad they proved me wrong, folks. And the confidence for O'Connor. You know, he underthrew receivers. He had one interception. Not very accurate. I must say, I really like O'Connor, though, when he uses his feet. He may not be lightning fast, lightning quick, but when he does use his feet, he is very efficient. You know, we saw him multiple times. You say, all right, nobody's down the field. Let me just trot to the sidelines here and get a first down. Saw that multiple times. I love how the confidence is slowly growing for O'Connor. Got to get more accurate, though, with the football. I will say that. But nonetheless, this is a quality win, and it does a lot for the confidence of Tyler O'Connor. What did you think of the MSU win? Call in 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. And right now, I want to invite two individuals to the show right now. I do know that we have callers on the line. Stay right there. I know Mike is on the line right now. Bear with me, Mike. I want to invite right now one of our fantastic production assistants for the semester. We've got Kamen Kessler, who I invite to the show, as well as our engineer of WKAR's current sports, Isaac Constance. Fellas, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing well, Al. How are you?
I am great. Isaac, you all right, my man?
Can't complain. Good weekend for football all around.
I want to start with you, Isaac. What were your thoughts on Michigan State? This 8-point win over Notre Dame. Because I tell you what, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see Michigan State completely getting out to the start that they had. The comeback, though, was a bit unnerving, I must say.
Well, I saw a two-faced team from Michigan State, and that was a defense who looked both so stout, so formidable, and then one that caved in. Because DeShone Kizer's a great player. There's no doubting that. And this defense did a great job of suppressing him early on. I thought the linebacking core, as you mentioned, was fantastic throughout. John Reschke's interception was huge for this team. Andrew Dowell also had a very important momentum-gaining sack within the first half that was almost a turning point for this game and really let MSU get out on the front foot. So I thought that was very encouraging. Then you saw the secondary get a little bit stretched as the game went along. And I wasn't necessarily expecting that. A controversial pass interference call on Viontae Copeland, too, also changed the dynamic of this game. But what gave me the most confidence for this MSU team going forward was Tyler O'Connor's performance. It was not perfect, not whatsoever. But it was D'Antonio handing over the reins, handing over the playbook, and handing over control of this team to Tyler O'Connor. Like I've mentioned multiple times before, Tyler O'Connor has played well before, but he's played safe. Against Furman, all of the routes were short. They were relatively straightforward, simple pass completions. Against Ohio State, he was 9 of 12. Nine of 12. You need to do more as a starting quarterback of a team, and he did that. 19 of 26 with a few big plays, like you mentioned, also with his feet when he needed it. And then lastly, I thought the offensive line and the play calling for this team coincided perfectly. I thought D'Antonio did a great job handling the stress and pressure of the situation. I think his team responded.
I thought the play calling got a bit conservative, though, in the fourth quarter, though, Isaac. I thought that Michigan State kind of settled in and said, all right, they started to play not to lose in order to play, instead of playing to win, if you ask me. I thought that they eased up a little bit in that fourth quarter. When it comes to Tyler O'Connor, though, I think that Tyler doesn't need to do too much at this point because with the offensive line opened up so much for that running game that Tyler didn't have to be a world beater out there. When you got L.J. Scott and Gerald Holmes running through the holes that offensive line created, it allowed O'Connor to really settle into the game. Kamen?
I don't think you're really giving O'Connor enough credit for – I thought he played really well in the second half, even when Notre Dame was making that comeback. He allowed the Spartans to stay in the game, didn't make the big mistake, which I think is key. And one play that comes to mind is I think it was a 3rd and 4 late in the third quarter. This is when Notre Dame sees the momentum. They're coming back. And O'Connor's read is an out route to pick up the 4 yards, get the first down. Mm-hmm. And it looks open initially until a corner – jumps on the route, and instead of trying to force anything in there, instead of trying to, you know, make a play with his legs or any of that, throws it at the feet of the receiver, takes the punt, doesn't make the big mistake. And I think that's key down the road for the Spartans. Like you said, O'Connor's not winning the games for the team, although I love the aggressive play calling. I thought,
again, O'Connor's playing good. But he's not going out there and, again, turning your heads with miraculous passes and crazy numbers. But he doesn't need to do that. That's what I'm saying. I think that this running game has proved to be so good that O'Connor, the pressure on O'Connor has I think, dwindled a bit as, again, it's only game two for this Michigan State football team. But he doesn't need to go out there and do too much. Hey, just in a way, and I hate saying game manager for a quarterback, but in a way, O'Connor has to be that, has to play that role for Michigan State. Because if he just manages the game, and coupled with this defense, with the linebackers playing as well as they can, the defensive line for Michigan State has to play better. I understand you got a NFL draft pick, first-round draft pick in Malik McDowell out there, but that defensive line did not put any pressure in the fourth quarter on DeShone Kizer.
Yep.
That pressure allowed Kizer to just chill out, you know, drink some coffee, read the newspaper in the pocket, and he picked apart that secondary. That has to be better. So there's room for growth here. But to go talk about O'Connor real briefly here before we get to this caller, Kamen, I think O'Connor has played good. He's been solid, but not like, oh my gosh. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I absolutely agree where you're coming from. I just you know, I think he was a little bit more than a game manager. He got lucky on some of the – he's going to need to be deeper on some of the deep – or better on some of the deep throws there. I think he got lucky underthrew those. But, you know, you had Corley making plays. You had the pass interference and stuff. I love the aggressive play calling. He was a little bit more than a game manager, but I agree where you're coming from. I love that he didn't make the big mistake. He didn't force anything. Obviously, the Notre Dame fans were getting back into the game. The comeback was – or the momentum was on the Notre Dame side. They had the comeback on, but – once again, he stepped up, played well. He's 3-0. And then on the defensive line side of things, they did step up from the Furman game. 57 rush yards for the Irish. You know, that's a pretty good day, about two and change per run. They look good there, but I agree, they need to generate some pressure. We need some sacks, something to help out the secondary, because, yeah, they're getting picked apart, but they're getting no help from up front.
I totally agree. They have to be better. Let's go to our phone lines really briefly here before we jump to our first break. I want to invite right now Mike from Milford to talk about the U of M game and to comment on Wilton Spate and his performance against Colorado this past weekend. Mike, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am fantastic. Mike, do you have us on the radio? Can you turn your radio down?
Yeah, my bad.
Thank you, Mike. You're on. What's on your mind?
I'm just saying right now that Michigan is ranked number 4, and I know they're, like, in the playoffs as of right now, but the quarterback play just has to be better. I don't see them beating MSU or Ohio State this year right now.
Right. And I must say, you know, watching that Colorado game – and how Michigan came out. They came out so flat. You know, they came out flat to start the game and as well as after halftime. And, you know, I don't know what the reasoning is behind that, but Colorado, I mean, boy, they really jumped on U of M, and they had a lot of fans on the edge of their seat. I mean, just saying, what's wrong with this team right now? But I must say, wow, Jabril Peppers is just a star. Isn't he fun to watch?
I think if he plays like this the rest of the year, he should be in contention for Heisman, like Charles Woodson did.
Certainly. So I think his name is in that conversation right now, as well as right now, if I had to choose who's in the lead, again, very early in the college football year, we just finished up week 3, but right now I think that Lamar Jackson is winning that battle right now. I mean, watching him, quarterback for Louisville, he is very fun to watch. But Jabril Peppers is one of those plug-and-play guys. You can put him on offense, defense, special teams. He is just that good, and he understands the game so well that he's going to be a playmaker anywhere.
Yeah, he doesn't. They said he like doesn't get tired, so I don't know why he hasn't played more reps on offense. Because every time he gets the ball, it gets kind of more.
Dark. Yeah, right, definitely. And now they move on. I believe they play Penn State this weekend at the Big House, and you know it's such an advantage for U of M though, because they play 6 of the first 7 games at home. Again, I truly believe that U of M and Michigan State are both going to be undefeated when they meet on October 29th. That's going to be a huge game.
Yeah. Coming into the season, I thought Michigan was going to blow out MSU. But now, after watching that Notre Dame game, that really impressed me.
Definitely. I agree. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate that.
No problem.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jay Vincent, Lansing native and former Michigan State basketball player from 1977. To 1981. That chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKER's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, folks, we are recapping what took place this past weekend on the gridiron. The Michigan State football team with a big win over Notre Dame on Saturday night under the lights, primetime television on NBC. Really cool, though. Isaac, are you a big fan of Mike Tirico? I love Mike Tirico.
Oh, Mike Tirico is one of the best in all of sports broadcasting. There's not a question about it.
Fantastic. You know, he lives in Ann Arbor as well. And, you know, Mike is just one of the best broadcasters ever. And it's really cool to see him back now we doing play-by-play for college football. So it was cool hearing his voice as he broadcasted the Michigan State football game. And we also taking your calls on the Detroit Lions as well as they fall to the Tennessee Titans in game two of their very young year. Matthew Stafford throwing a pick to end all hopes of a Detroit Lions comeback, trying to duplicate what took place in week one against the Indianapolis Colts on the road at Lucas Oil Stadium. Matthew Stafford, he was 22 of 40 for 260 yards. He also had 31 yards of rushing, and that included a moment where, you know, Matthew Stafford, he, you know, to take it back to all you video game fans out there who play Madden, he used a truck stick on one of those defenders. Did you see that, Isaac? I mean, he lowered his shoulder, the defender falls back, and, you know, he takes a huge hit right after that. But I don't think anybody who's a fan of the Detroit Lions wants to see their quarterback engaging in such physical contact such as that.
No, Matty Staff is, you know, a hefty guy, but especially with his previous history of injuries and then his most recent record of health and longevity, you don't want to see him lower in any sort of shoulder, especially with Calvin Johnson gone. Dan Orlovsky isn't completing a pass to this receiving core.
Yeah, I will say, you don't question Matthew Stafford's toughness. He is a tough cookie, to say the least, all right? And speaking of tough, this is a great segue into today's interview. His name is Jay Vincent. He was a 6'7" forward who played at Michigan State University under Coach Judd Heathcote, where he teamed with Magic Johnson and Greg Kelcer to win the 1979 NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Tournament Championship. He also won the Big Ten Scoring Championship in his junior and senior years, went on to play in the NBA, selected by the Dallas Mavs in the second round of the 1981 NBA draft, and went on to have a pretty productive 9-year NBA career playing for the Dallas Mavericks. Throughout his life, he has had some ups and downs, folks, and he's going to talk about that and so much more, but it's truly my pleasure to welcome to Current Sports for the first time, Mr. Jay Vincent. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Congratulations for listening to your shows. You've been doing a great job, and I'm doing fine.
Jay, it's certainly great to have you on the show. We've been trying to work on this for quite some time now, and we finally got you. Now, Jay, first off, what's it been like since you've been back in the Lansing area? What's that been like for you?
Well, first of all, it's been great to be back. Of course, I've gone 4.5 years for tax evasion and mail fraud in my business company, and I'm back, and now I got a book out, United States versus Jay Vincent and NBA Secrets, that's doing well. And I kind of teamed up while I'm on probation. I wasn't able to work with my own company. And I met Mr. Matt Brown, who I grew up with, his brother Leon Hollis and Melissa White. They own the company Concierge Corrections. And I'm going to be doing a little speaking to some of the inmates, helping them format a plan to come back and be successful, basically like I have done. And I'm going around speaking to at-risk kids. So there's a lot of at-risk kids all over the state of Michigan, Lansing area, Detroit, Flint, Muskegon, Grand Rapids. So it's all over. So I want to basically tell my story. It's all in my book. Maybe give away some free books to the kids to show them, hey, try to stay away from trouble, but if for some reason you end up finding yourself there, kind of toward, you know, pick the right way to go and kind of turn your life around. So that's why I'm this book that I've written is doing very, very well. And so and I'm very, very happy to be hooked up and doing some work with Conscious Correction.
That is a fantastic message, Jay. And, you know, I always say you can learn so much from the story and experience of someone else. And, again, as you just mentioned, you served a 5.5-year prison sentence for your part in a home inspection fraud case. And, you know, since coming out, and especially for I want to start with this. For our listeners that don't know exactly what happened in August of 2010 that led to that prison sentence, how did you get caught up in that whole thing?
Well, I did, first of all, for the tax evasion case, I didn't report $500,000 worth of our business income. So there was really, I really can't say anything about that. It was a bad mistake. Didn't report $500,000 of income. Mm-hmm. The mail fraud part of it was I had 18 or almost 20,000 workers, and I was hiring mainly only subcontractors. And then the fraud case more or less came in when we said we were hiring contractors and subcontractors, because we had them all over the country. And I hired mainly 100% subcontractors, which is basically false advertising. And then not all the background checks we completed. Some we did complete and some we didn't. So it was a mistake that should have never happened. I built that nice, beautiful company, and it kind of got away from me by just a couple bad decisions. So, yes, I did get a 5.5 a year sentence. I had to do 4 and some change. But I have a message now that I want to, you know, I wouldn't say it was funny, but before I even I went into the NBA, I was going around to different jails or different prisons, kind of sending a positive message. And then when I was in the NBA, I even kind of went around to a few prisons, because I think when people do get into trouble, there are some of those part of the population that is forgotten. So I think with my book, United States vs. Javis, the NBA Secrets, United States vs. Javis, it goes in step by step my whole entire court case, from the raid all the way to our left prison camp. And then it's NBA Secrets. There's 2 books in one. I just kind of like to touch bases on some of the little secrets that was going on around the NBA during the time I played, 1981 and 1990. So it turned out to be a spectacular book, and it's something I'm proud of. But I'm very, really, really proud of that I can go around not only speaking to some of the inmates, but more or less speaking to a lot of the at-risk kids that Mr. Matt Brown and Miss Melissa White will have me doing. And I'll be doing it with other companies as well. Since I started doing some work with Concierge Corrections, I've had a lot of companies reach out and said that they wanted to have me come in for the day. They'll purchase so many amount of books, I could sign them and give out to the at-risk kids, and that's really, really something I'm looking forward to.
And I certainly want to get into Concierge Corrections as well as your 2 books in just a second here, Jay. And I want to go back really briefly, though. When you received that sentence, Jay, what immediately went through your head? And in that same conversation, how did your mindset shift in order to ideally survive in the prison system?
Well, you know, I don't take prison lightly. I was at a prison camp, so that helped it a great deal. When I was looking at prison, I thought it was going to be one of those highs, lows, or mediums, and that's all I knew. I was at a place, and like I said, I'm not glorifying prison, but I was at a prison camp. It really just depends on what your background history is. It's a little bit like LCC. Basically, guys work off of the prison camp. They go 45, 50 miles driving, picking up things. So it depends on what type of job you had. You just wasn't able to leave as far as constantly until your sentence was over. Mm-hmm. So, but it was difficult because you're around a bunch of guys that you really don't know. Some people have worked their ways down from a high, from a low, from a medium. So it's a situation. Anytime you're separated from you and your family, or you and some of your friends, it's a difficult time in your life. Not only do you receive the bad publicity from it, but, you know, if you're going away for a year, it's a long time. Even though in the prison system, they always say if you got 10 years left, you're doing well. See, so it's a situation that I was definitely uncomfortable with, even though I made the best of it, simply because, like I said, it wasn't where I was running around being stabbed or trying to stab somebody. It's a situation where it was a camp. But getting there is you're going through different jails where you're around different people who have committed murder, who have committed home invasions, who have committed stabbings, who committed child molestation. So it's a situation that I would always preach that no one wants to deal with, and that's why I think I have a story to tell within my book.
Jay, while you were in prison, there was one man who I'm sure has meant so much to your life, and that is your former coach, Judd Heathcote, who sent you letters, and those letters really, I know, kept you afloat and kept your energy positive. I mean, really simply here, Jay, how has Judd Heathcote changed your life?
Well, you know, Coach and I, we weren't that close at Michigan State. I always teased him when he was writing me. I said, wow, it took for me to get something negative for us to really, really draw even closer. But Judd, you know, he you never know who's going to stick by you when something negative happens in your life until hopefully it never happens. But if it does happen, you wonder who's going to stand by you. And Coach was one of those people in my life that stood by me. You know, you're not going to hear from everybody. I have a chapter in my book called Out of Sight, Out of Mind. A lot of times people go away for, they could have a small sentence, 9 months, 10 months, a year, their wife or whoever turn their back and leave them, just like family and friends. So it's a situation that I really appreciated. Coach contacted me. He wrote me about 18, 19, 20 letters. I have 3 or 4 of his letters inside my book, along with a few other letters, you know, Magic had wrote to the judge on my behalf and some other stuff. So, but Coach meant a lot, especially when time is going by. Usually every month and a half I would hear from him, and that helped me kind of get through the tough times.
Who did stick by you, Jay? Other than, of course, you mentioned Magic and also Judd. Who else was a part of that support system for you?
Well, you know, a lot of, I would say, some friends. I had a friend, you know, Jeff Jones. Nobody knows, like, the pastor to a local church. I kind of grew up with them. But Greg Kelser has sent me a couple emails. Ron Charles, Bobo Charles. It's funny. I got him in my book. Not only did he send me emails and a couple letters, but when I was going to my prison camp, he was one of the lead lieutenant prison guards in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta for 12 days, and while we're getting off the bus in Atlanta, who's calling my name? Ron Charles. So it was really something that I could put that in the book. It's a lot of different things happened. Only thing I would do when he called Jay Vincent, kind of walked up there, got my little package, said hi, Bobo, and kept going. And, like, I didn't even know him. We both smiled, and we just kept it going. But, you know, from him and my mom, my mother, my brother Sam wrote a couple letters. There's a lot of individuals wrote into me. A lot of individuals didn't write into me. And, you know, you really don't understand. I always tell people, the people who contact you when they really don't have to contact you, those are the people you consider as friends.
Jay, was there anyone that didn't reach out to you that surprised you during that period?
Well, there's a few. You know, I didn't hear from Magic. I was hoping I would have heard from Magic. I know he's busy, but I think he's going to be in town next week. And I told Dale Beard to tell him, I'm looking for that letter still. So hopefully he had that letter that he was going to write to me. But there was a few NBA guys that I thought I was really, really close to that I also didn't hear from. But, you know, I always say to myself, hey, you put yourself in this situation. Only thing you have to do is now is concentrating on getting out, getting back to what you want to do in life, and go on from there. You know, a lot of individuals get too caught up in who contacted them and who didn't, and it kind of, you know, brings a negativity in their life. But I kind of left it alone. I've turned this negative into a positive, and I'm just moving on with my life.
Yes, you certainly have. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jay Vincent, Lansing native and former Michigan State basketball player from 1977 to 1981. Jay, what inspired you to write The United States versus Jay Vincent, Survive or Die? And what's been the reaction from those that have read it?
Well, you know, I always thought that I wanted to at least share my story. You know, financially, I did pretty well with it, with, you know, almost $27 million in book contracts from it. So I'm not going to say that wasn't a plus. But I also wanted to have my story out there. Once I got into prison, even though I was going to write the story before I got to the camp, I found out in the library there was a lot of inmates there or wherever throughout the prison system had written books. But I just wanted to get my story out there, United States versus Jay Vincent, so they could hear my side of it, my side of what happened, how I felt going through the system, being the time when we were raided or being the time that I was walking out of the prison camp. I just wanted my story to be read for people to hear what I had to say about everything. So now that it's gotten out, I've gotten great reviews on Facebook, where a lot of people go to and said they have written the book and have read the book, have passed it on to and told other people to contact me about the book. So it's been great. Like I said, I wanted to make it something different. That's why I put NBA secrets in there too. But United States versus Jay Vincent, I got to admit, it's more of a day day-by-day recap of what happened in my situation and what I went through, and turned out very positive.
And Jay, what compelled you to write 100 NBA Secrets? And can you share some of the secrets that are detailed in the book with us on the air?
Well, you know, I wasn't going to do 100, but I just changed it to it became NBA Secrets.
Okay.
One of the NBA Secrets was, I always tell this one, when I was in Dallas, a lot of people don't know that they think Charles Barkley and Larry Bird and just a couple others are trash talkers. But one of the biggest trash talkers is my childhood friend Magic Johnson. One time he got a rebound when I was in Dallas and he was playing for the Lakers. And I started trying to guard him and all the way up the court. And he told me, get away from me. Get away from me. This is not third grade anymore. This is not high school basketball. I'm about to kill you. I said, no, Magic. I know you. You're looking way past. So I'll foul you first. He came on down. Boom, I fouled him. And we laughed. Another NBA secret is more of a serious tale. I kind of go into, I try to tell a lot of the NBA guys who are the younger ones, they have to really be careful out here. Because when they're out on these, going out to, you know, the nightlife, which most guys are young, they're rich, they're on their own for the first time, they want to be out. But there's a lot of danger out there because people are setting them up for, if they know when your birthday is and you're about to be away from home, they send people around you for some reason. They know exactly where you live. Someone has told them you're going to be at home or away from home for certain many hours. They do a lot of home invasions. I look at that happened just to Chris Bosh, I think, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the dangers a lot about the NBA secrets, even though I got a lot of, you know, little NBA secrets in there about how training camp is. I tell people how the interview process is. One quick one is, and I think I messed up my interview on that one. When I was in Phoenix, they asked me, Jay, where do you play your best basketball, at home or away? So I thought about it for a few minutes, and I knew the correct answer to that when I said away. I play my best away because we all get together. It's like us against the world. It's like teammates. It's like, rah, rah, we're going to beat them down. The fans are screaming against us. And that's where I play my best basketball. It was the incorrect answer. And I said, why? They said, you should play your best basketball home and away. And so it was like a trick question,
right?
But they want to know what your answer. So I got a lot of that in there, and it just turned out to be a spectacular book to go along with United States versus Javis.
Oh boy, well, I can't wait to pick it up and peruse through it. I'm sure there are many many cool snippets from both books, I'm sure. And before I get you out of here, Jay, I got to ask, because your brother Sam, again, another big name here in Michigan. Again, he won the State of Michigan Mr. Basketball Award back in 1981. You know, he of course went to Lansing Eastern High School as well, scored 61 points in one game as a senior. The previous record was 54, set by, of course, Magic Johnson at Everett High School. What is your relationship like right now with your brother?
I just talked to Sam. I was on the phone with him. He said it's to Dubai just for 9 days. I talked to Sam about 4 or 5 days a week. You know, he's been coaching over in Dubai the last 2 years, but he didn't want to go back. He wanted to take care of some other business things here in the Orlando area, because he lives in Florida. But it's been great. You know, he and I went different paths. I was more or less into the business side of life, and he was more into the coaching side. You know, he coached at the Dallas Mavericks as a coach. He was the head coach at NBDL. He was the head coach at the Bobcats with Michael Jordan. Then, of course, he was head coach at over in Dubai for the last 3 years. So he's more or less went the head coaching route, and I more or less went into the business route. I just kind of, you know, messed my fantastic business up back. As far as I messed it up a little bit, but I'm back now, and I'm just happy to be back, happy to be out, being able to see a few people that I haven't seen in a few years, and just kind of thankful and just kind of move on with my life. It's been a ride, both good and bad, but at least I've been able to take this bad and turn it positive.
Yeah, we all love a great comeback story, Jay, and you certainly are writing yours as we speak. For our listeners out there, Jay, how can people get their hands on the United States versus Jay Vincent, as well as NBA Secrets?
Yeah, I got a website. They went to www.jayvincentbooks.com, because I got to have my number in there, .com. they can find both books. So it's www.jvincentbooks, B-O-O-K-S, 31.com. And then I give away free signed high school basketball picture with me and Magic, and, of course, me and the NBA. So I give that along with it. And one thing I'll say for sure, it's a nice book, and it's something it's a true collector's eye.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jay, we look forward to following up with you in the coming weeks and possibly putting together a nice feature for Current Sports TV. How's that sound?
That would be great. That would be great.
Jay Vincent, Lansing native and former Michigan State hoop star from 1977 to 1981. Jay, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on this afternoon.
Thank you, and you have a beautiful day.
You do the same, my man. Jay Vincent, I'm really interested to dive into that that NBA Secrets book, Isaac, because you know, you hear different things from athletes about the landscape of professional sports, but you never really get the full story. So I'm curious to know what sort of juicy stories are in this this tell-all book from Jay.
Well, and I knew of Jay long before coming to MSU, even, because actually my aunt, sophomore year of high school, bought me a book for my birthday called When March Went Mad, which is basically based around Michigan State's travel to the NCAA championship in 79 and facing off against Indiana State. It was a great book written by Seth Davis. And anyway, it details all of the different stories of the starters for both of those teams. So I became pretty familiar with Jay Vincent. But I looked him up on Basketball Reference during that chat because I knew he was good in the NBA.
Oh, he was great.
This guy averaged 22 points a game his rookie year.
Right.
Imagine how absurd that is in today's NBA. And that was still a competitive era. Wow. I had no idea he was that successful from day one.
He was fantastic. He had a great NBA career that spanned a nice stretch, and he was a great role player for the LA Lakers. He was great with the Mavericks. I mean, he had a very good NBA career. So, Jay Vincent, thanks for coming on. All right, well, 3 minutes left here on the show. We'd love to close out each and every Monday edition of Current Sports with something we dub Weekend Winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in the sports world?
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, weekend winner. So who exactly had the best weekend in the sports world? Well, I'm sticking with the NFL here, Isaac. I want to give a big shout out to, how about the LA Rams? After watching that team throughout training camp on Hard Knocks, HBO's Hard Knocks, there was a lot of chatter about Jeff Fisher not getting the job done. Of course, they lost in week one. But, hey, a pretty big win for this team yesterday. That was pretty fun to see. The first win in L.A. for the Rams since 1994. That was huge. And also, how about Trey Waynes, who was picked on all last night by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? He gets the last laugh with the INT that sealed the deal and sealed the win for the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, my weekend winner, it's only the fourth time it's ever happened an FCS team beat an FBS team. But
right.
North Dakota State,
how
now
big was
undefeated against FBS teams, having won the last five FCS championships, and North Dakota State, they're a team that didn't do it with a bunch of tomfoolery, shenanigans, a bunch of gimmicks. They did it through hard-nosed running. This is a team that if they were to go to the FBS, they would be top 25. I guarantee you they are that good just because it's a hard-nosed, hard-working football team.
I will say they are very underrated, all right? Well, we'll have more on the Detroit Lions on tomorrow's show. We will also invite former Michigan State hoop star, my man, Morris Peterson, will join us to talk about his new bar and grill in Flint, Michigan. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.